have thought? A mere 7 weeks ago, the global economy was bursting with growth, stocks were soaring, our globally connected world felt invincible. Most of us were already planning for summer vacation. I know we were. And by most accounts, life for many of us was very good. And then, in the blink of an eye, the whole world caught on fire. Now everything is changing as we watch a way of life that we've known and enjoyed for a century going up in smoke. Falling stocks, a frozen housing market, retirement plans being ditched, weddings and funerals either canceled or held with no one in attendance. Just crazy. Empty churches on Palm Sunday and today on Easter. Without question, this is the strangest period in my lifetime. It's like we've been beamed up and then dropped into a world that we don't recognize. Overcrowded emergency rooms, shuttered schools and businesses, death unfolding in real time. Social distancing, sheltering at home, concepts many of us never heard of before, are now part of daily life. Everyone is wearing face masks. People are ordering groceries online. Many are navigating a whole new world of homeschooling, all the while now working from home as well. We've lost all sense of normalcy. We're grasping for air as we try to cope with sweeping changes that are totally beyond our control. It's not an exaggeration to say that we're at war. We're at war with two enemies, one spawned by the other. We're fighting the coronavirus, but there's another invisible enemy riding on the coattails of COVID-19. We're fighting a pandemic of fear. There's no way to escape or flee. The whole world is dealing with the fallout in one form or another. Some have lost their jobs. Our cupboards are bare because we're afraid to go to the grocery store. Your job may be essential, which is great, except it exposes you to greater risk. You or someone you love may be a healthcare worker, and you're terrified that they're entering right into the danger zone. You may be struggling to save the business you spent your entire life building. You're worried about a parent or grandparent living in a care center. And tragically, some of you are acquainted with casualties of COVID-19. To top it all off, no one really knows, no one can tell us how long this will last or how in the world it's going to end. And so we're all left wondering, is there really hope? Will there be life after COVID-19, and what will it be like? Underlying all this disorientation, confusion, and loss, there is a silver lining, and that's what I want to talk about today. We've been forced to push pause on life as usual. Our lives have come to a screeching halt, and for many of us, it's driving us crazy. We want to get back to life. And yet, what an unprecedented opportunity to spend quality time with your spouse or your kids that are at home, to go for a leisurely walk, to read or even to write that book that you've been putting off doing. You know, have you gone outside? It's wonderful. I mean, spring is in the air and it's so quiet. There's little road traffic. Few jets overhead, all you hear are the birds singing. And you see the flowers blooming and the grass is growing. It's glorious. There is a silver lining. Ultimately, the pandemic literally gives us pause to consider what is really important in life. We're just quiet and still. We're off the treadmill of life, and we have the opportunity to think about life and what is really important. And talking about what is important, I'd like to briefly consider one subject. I'd like to talk to you about one thing today, something we often ignore, we deny, we don't talk about very much. When things are normal, we don't give it much consideration. But today I want to talk about it. What I want to talk about is, I want to talk about death. Death. Under normal circumstances, we can either ignore it or we can laugh it off. Right? I mean, we all know Woody Allen's famous joke. I'm not afraid to die, he said. I just don't want to be there when it happens. But right now, death is not really a joking matter. And poking fun at death during a pandemic seems really wrong. Woody Allen even knew that. He also said this about death. The fundamental thing behind all motivation and all activity is the constant struggle against annihilation and death. It's absolutely stupefying. It is terror, and it renders everyone's accomplishments meaningless. Whoa, that's a strong statement. But it's true, isn't it? I mean, one of the most difficult places for us are cemeteries. Few places on earth cause us more grief and more difficulty. We never feel as helpless or as hopeless as when we're standing at the graveside of someone that we love. We're utterly helpless to overcome it. And if there's one thing this pandemic has taught us, it's taught us that despite all our advancements, all our learning, we've not been able to overcome the simple fragility of human existence. The truth is, our lives, our economy, the world's progress, none of it has altered our ultimate destiny. Truth be told, as a species, we humans were obsessed with death. Just look at how we try to avoid it. We don't want to think about it. We don't want to talk about it. We do things to our bodies to remove the appearance of its approach. We don't want to think about it, but we do. We can't escape it. We've all held the illusion of control, especially here in the West. We have an illusion of control, and this pandemic is shattering that illusion. Just think of the astonishing progress in technology, communication in the last few decades. And we put people on the moon, but we cannot control death. And now it's invading all of us. Despite our scientific technological progress, we can't conquer the profound vulnerability of life on this planet. As we're all discovering with profound humility, our global economy, our supply chains, they're deeply fragile. Our relationships are fragile. Our political system is fragile. The rapid spread of the virus overwhelmed some of Europe's greatest medical systems. Traumatized by images of the emergency care unit where he works, the director of a hospital in Spain confessed, quote, "We have sinned from too much confidence." And now this pandemic is humbling us and showing us how fragile life is. I'm simply reminding you of something we all know. Death is our greatest enemy. It's death. It's endemic to the human condition. And that truth becomes clear every day as we're overwhelmed by this new biological agent, and as we helplessly watch the death count mounting hour by hour. We're deeply vulnerable not only to death, but to what one Bible writer called the fear of death that makes us subject to slavery, he said. We're slaves, we're chained to the fear of death. We cannot escape. And that fear is epidemic right now. It's natural to fear death. In his classic work, City of God, St. Augustine described a startling reality of death as, quote, the very violence with which body and soul are wrenched asunder. That's quite striking. And when you put it that way, how could we not reasonably fear death in some sense? And right now, one of the biggest fears during COVID-19 is not just the fear of death, it's the fear of dying alone. Many prisoners fear that COVID-19 is the new death sentence. In an article in The Hill 2 weeks ago, opinion writer Mark Penn wrote a piece with an intriguing title, quote, worried about dying from COVID-19? Maybe you're a millennial. Here's what he said. We have nothing to fear but fear itself, and of course the virus. Nothing has provoked more fear and public upheaval in America in the last 50 years as has COVID-19. And those who are most scared are those who have never experienced events of similar scale, the millennials. He writes, as a country, we are close to panic levels of fear. Over half the respondents to the first of Harris Poll surveys on the coronavirus outbreak said they feared they would die of COVID-19. Over half the people they surveyed. 57% of millennials were afraid of dying from the virus. 47% of those over 65 shared that same fear. An article appeared in Lancaster Online News on Friday, also talking about the fear of death from the coronavirus. The title of that article was Coronavirus and the Fear of Death. In it, author Michael Long addresses the importance of confronting our fear of death and the opportunity this pandemic offers us to do so. Listen to what he says. COVID-19 has refocused the world's attention, however briefly, on the transient nature of life. The threat of death hangs in the air, and many people fear the worst. Fear comes from two places, what we know and what we don't know. Most coronavirus fears at this point belong to the latter camp. In the end, listen carefully to this statement and what he says here. He said, in the end, the real tragedy of COVID-19 will not be that we lost so many lives, but that those deaths could not sufficiently motivate us to break free from the inertia of a routine that constantly ignores our mortality. He continues. Insulated in the fat of our 80-year life expectancy, Americans eagerly await a return to a sense of normalcy, when we won't have to daily confront the reality of ever-present death, when we once again can perpetually put off any serious discussions of our feelings as they relate to a finite existence. COVID-19 has given us an opportunity, he says, and an incentive to talk about death. The disease has for a short time forcibly removed so many of the distractions of daily life, allowing us to engage in meaningful conversation. And he concludes with these words of instruction. Don't waste this opportunity. Do it now. Confront your fears. Talk about it. And that's what I would like to do right now, is talk to you about it. I'd like to take this opportunity in this unprecedented period when we're all socially distancing, when lives are turned upside down, our normal routines are put on hold, and we have opportunity to consider things we don't normally think about. I'd like to talk to you about death. I'd like to have a conversation, if I could, with you. In fact, I'd like to just imagine, if you would, with me, that I'm there sitting down with you. Just imagine I pull up a chair, and I'm there in your living room, sitting looking across from you there in the sofa or the easy chair. or in your family room or dining room, and we're just chatting and talking, I'd like to just have a conversation with you personally about how you're doing. And I'd like to give you hope and encouragement. But I need to begin with finding out how you're doing. How are you doing? Are you wrestling with anxiety? When I read those statistics a few minutes ago, did you identify with them? Are you afraid that you might die from COVID-19? How are you sleeping? If you're like me, I can't take too much of the news. I mean, there's nowhere to escape. There is no other news. There's no sports. And it's coming at us like from a fire hydrant. All the news, all the death, all the carnage. And we wonder how much is true, how much is not true. And yet it just keeps coming. And if you're like me, if I have too much of it, I just feel that fear that's buried deep inside of me rising in the pit of my stomach and coming up. And if I'm not careful, it can overwhelm me. How about you? It's a very strange time for sure. Regardless of where you find yourself today on the fear spectrum, I really want to talk to you about good news. I have good news for you today. I have news of hope and encouragement for you today. And I hope you have your attention. I hope that today, in this time of shelter at home, this time of staying quiet and being still and not doing normal routines, I hope that you're able to process with me what life is really about and what happens after we die. You see, the good news is that Jesus died. He died a horrible death. Tragic, horrific death. That was 3 days ago on Friday, Good Friday. But today, my friends, today is Easter, and he is alive. He's alive. He rose from the dead, and because of that, everything changes. Everything. That gives us hope, because what he experienced, he offers to you and to me. Writing to folks in the first century facing fear like you and me, the Apostle Peter made a statement that might encourage you. This is what he said. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Wow, that's good news. Did you get that? Born again into a living hope. Hope is alive today. And that living hope comes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I want to read for you the account in Scripture of the day, that first Easter morning, when our Savior rose from the dead. It's Matthew chapter 28, the beginning of that chapter. You can read along if you have a Bible. Otherwise, just follow along as I read. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." He's alive. He's alive. And we know that he had many witnesses. Many did see him after his resurrection. 25 years after that morning, 25 years later, the Apostle Paul, who's now a missionary, bringing that same good news to people all over the then known world, he wrote a letter describing the foundation of the resurrection. You see, the resurrection of Christ is the foundation of our hope. It's the foundation of the Christian faith. And Paul wrote about that, and he described the evidence from eyewitness accounts of the resurrection. Here's what he said. This is 1 Corinthians 15, the first few verses of that chapter. "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you've believed in vain. For what I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time. Most of them are still living, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also." And as Paul said, this is written in the time that many people were still alive who witnessed this. It would have been easy for others to discredit it, but those living had witnessed it themselves, and they were able to give testimony. And I hope you notice that Paul said, "This is what I passed on to you as of first importance. Christ died, he was buried, and he rose again." That's the message of Easter. That's what we're celebrating here today. It's the announcement of the resurrection of Christ and the hope that he brings. It's the announcement of hope for all people. But it's more than an announcement. It's also an invitation to you. It's an invitation to experience life through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus was speaking with Martha and her sister Mary after their brother Lazarus had died. And as they're weeping and grieving over that, Jesus said to Martha a very amazing thing. This is what he said to her: "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." "I am the resurrection and the life," he said. "Whoever believes in me will live, even if he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." You see, the life that we have through Jesus is a life that extends beyond the physical life that we have. And that's why he can promise us that even though we die, we will continue to live. Because eternal life is what he offers. And it is hope. Hope for times like this, when we're confronted with our fear of death. It's hope to realize that we can live beyond the end of this life. How do we experience that? How do we accept the invitation to this life? Well, Jesus told us. He told Martha, and he says the same to you. It's through faith. It's whoever believes this would experience it, he said. Whoever believes it. You see, you can't earn eternal life. You can't buy it. We'll never deserve it. It's not about church. It's not about spiritual practices. It's about trust. Because this life that Jesus offers is a gift that he offers. And gifts can only be received. They can't be paid for. They can't be earned, deserved. They can only be received. The Bible says Jesus died for our sins and rose again to make us right with God. Isn't that good? Let me read that again. He died for our sins and rose again to make us right with God. That's the good news of Easter. He died, but he rose again so that you could have a right relationship, a personal relationship, a restored relationship with Almighty God. That's the good news of Easter. That's the hope of Easter. That is where hope is found. No one knows when this pause will end. No one knows when the crisis will be over, but my friends, it's true. Be assured, the pandemic will come to an end. And whatever comes after, it will be good. We'll rebuild our lives. You'll get back to school, back to work, and you'll begin your activities, and life will pick up a pace, and pretty soon you'll be back on that treadmill, and you'll be running fast again and back to your normal routines. They might be altered, but you'll be busy again. Here's my challenge. Don't waste this moment. Don't waste this opportunity right now while you're still. Perhaps the greatest thing that could come from the COVID-19 would be an encounter with God that you have. That you experience God. That you're born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And he offers that to you right now. Right now. Wherever you are. Sitting there in the living room, in the dining room, perhaps even laying in bed, wherever you are, he offers that to you. Will you put your trust in Jesus? Jesus died, the scripture says. He lived a perfect life. He didn't deserve to die. He lived a life I couldn't live and you couldn't live. He lived it in our place. And then he died a death that he didn't deserve to die because he had not done anything wrong. He hadn't sinned. And it was a death that we deserved. And he died in our place so that we could exchange his righteousness, his right relationship with the Father, for our broken one, so that we could have life. He died the death we deserved to die. And 3 days later, God raised him from the dead, guaranteeing that he is, in fact, the Son of God, and offering to you and to me forgiveness of sins and eternal life. That's the good news. That's where hope is found. So, again, I appreciate the opportunity to have this conversation with you. And if you permit me, I'd like to press in just a little bit closer, and I'd like to press a little further, and I'd like to ask you right now, will you receive the gift of life in Jesus? When Jesus was talking to Martha, he said, "I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and dies in me will live." And then he asked this question, a question we all have to answer. The question is, do you believe this? Do you believe this? And Martha said, "Yes, I believe you are the Messiah." Right now, will you say yes to Jesus? Will you say, "Yes, I believe you are the Son of God. Yes, I believe you are the resurrection. I believe you died in my place. Yes, I believe you rose again. Yes, I believe that you can make me new, and I trust you now. Come, I confess to you my sin, my shortcoming, my independence, doing my own thing and ignoring you. I confess all that, and now I turn to you, and I ask you to come, forgive me, and give me life. Yes, Jesus, come into my life. And if you call out to him in faith, and you trust him, and you say yes, oh, my friends, he's going to give you new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Oh, many of you watching, you probably have done that already. Perhaps you have. Today, I just want to urge you to call out to God and seek him for hope and help. He's an ever-present help in the time of trouble. He's with us. And he's got a purpose for us during this time. So as you press in and experience his presence as never before, allow him to use you in ways you never imagined. Because he is good. Hope is alive. So as we prepare to wrap up our service today, I just want to urge you to connect with the church. The church is open. We're meeting. We have groups all throughout the week. And I want you to press in and get involved. If you're not part of our church, there are places where you can contact us and let us know who you are. And we'd love to connect with you and link you up with some people that can encourage you and help you. In fact, if you said yes to Jesus for the first time today, I'd urge you to go to our website, or you can just go to the page uscalliance.org/yes. Or you can go to the website right there on the homepage, uscalliance.org. You can go on the homepage, and there's a tab that says, I said yes to Jesus today. And just click that. Let us know of your decision today so that we can encourage you and help you and give you some resources to help you grow in your new life in Christ. Again, church family, I welcome you to connect in a group. We're starting new groups almost every week, new small groups. There's a page on the website where you can submit your interest. Otherwise, if someone contacts you, I hope that you will say yes and get involved. Now, before we sing our closing song, would you bow with me and let's pray together. Father God in heaven, we thank you today for the hope that we have, living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And Father, as we are in this very unusual time when the foundations of our lives have been shaken and fears have risen, the fear of our own death. Would you come now as we look to you and trust you? Would you give us that living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Would you come and bring encouragement? Would you bring affirmation? Would you bring a sense of strength to each one, especially those today who said yes for the very first time? We love you, God. We thank you that there is hope. Help us today on this special day of resurrection celebration to have joy. Help us also to reflect that joy and that hope to people around us. We thank you. We love you. We worship you, our risen King, Jesus Christ. It's in your name we pray, with hope and with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen.